色
第三个
Thank you.
Please turn to your program as we pray our call to worship responsively. Be glad in our God and rejoice, O righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Therefore, we worship our God and rejoice.
In Christ, we become as a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See how God makes things new.
Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven and whose lives become new. Through our worship, we praise God who makes us new. Amen.
Please join us in the singing of our hymn, The Glory of These 40 Days, number 141 in your hymnal, number 141. Trusting in the one who made and redeemed us, let us confess our sin. Merciful and gracious God, we bow before your unending compassion, the measure of our falling short. We have not loved as you command. We have not spoken truly. We have not cared for creation, including ourselves, according to your will. Help us to know the mind of Christ, that in all thoughts, words, and deeds, our lives might come to honor you. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, but love is how we know. We are forgiven because we are loved by God. We are restored because we are loved by God. We have faith because we have God's love in us. Go, share forgiveness, and share love because God has loved and forgiven you. Keep the faith and share the love. Amen. Please join us in the passing of the peace. Thank you.
Please be seated. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ to all who are worshiping with us this day here at Memorial Church on this glorious spring term morning. I am Lucy Forster Smith, the Sedgwick Chaplain to the University and Senior Minister here in this church. We gather as a faith community at Harvard University, a space of grace for all. We also welcome those of you who are listening to us on our radio broadcast or internet. We feel your presence with us here today. Our preacher for today is the Reverend Dr. M. Craig Barnes, president of Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton, New Jersey. President Barnes is also professor of pastoral ministry at the seminary. As a proud alumna of Princeton Theological Seminary, it is a deep privilege to have you with us this day at Harvard Memorial Church, and we await your word to us this day with great anticipation. I now invite our church school teachers to come forward and collect our children for church school. We offer age-appropriate church school for children ages 3 through 6th grade. Thank you, teachers, for your excellent work with our children this term. This is Communion Sunday, and we invite all who are with us this day to participate in communion. We receive Holy Communion by intinction. Please note that the wine is in the center chalices and the grape juice will be served in the outer chalices. If you prefer to receive the bread and cup at your seat, please alert our ushers and we will accommodate your request. There are many announcements in your bulletin for your edification and participation this morning. The last of our Lenten series focusing on Barbara Brown Taylor's An Altar in the World will be held on Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. upstairs in the Pusey Room. Even if you have been unable to join us thus far for that conversation about spiritual practices, feel free to join us. Morning prayers continues this week with a wonderful group of speakers, 8:45 a.m. in the Appleton Chapel. Please note that there will be no morning prayers this coming Saturday, nor during the following week, as it is our spring recess. Morning prayers will resume on March 21st. Also, church school will not be held next Sunday, as it is spring recess and our teachers will be away, and it will resume the following Sunday on Palm Sunday, March 20th. Please make a note of our Holy Week and Easter schedule that is printed in your bulletin. There are many services and special musical offerings in this glorious season of the church year. And as noted also in your bulletin this morning there, we are delighted to announce this year's William Belden Noble Lecturer. American essayist and novelist Marilyn Robinson will deliver the Noble Lecture on Monday, April 4th, 7 p.m. here in Memorial Church. Details about this year's lecture are in your bulletin. In addition to the lecture, our colleague Michelle Sanchez from Harvard Divinity School will speak at the Faith and Life Forum on April 3rd at 9:30 a.m. on Ms. Robinson's writing and the influence from reformer John Calvin. In the glory of this day, we have sung, we have prayed, have been reminded of the presence of the living God. And now we have the opportunity to tangibly express the gift of God's love through the giving of our gifts. Your offering this day goes to support the work of this church here at Harvard, in the wider Boston community, and in settings across this globe. Through the work of our grants committee, through student programming, by awakening the spirit through arts and music, and by our support of a new generation of leaders for church and society through our work with seminarians, the work of God is alive at Harvard Memorial Church. Our wonderful student ushers will receive the offering from the back of the church. We give thee but thine own, O God.
Thank you. reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse, page 12 in your pew Bibles. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will bless him and make him fruitful and exceedingly numerous. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year." And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Here ends the lesson. And now, will you rise as you are able? Nope, sorry, that's the next part.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful to who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Here ends the lesson.
And now will you rise as you are able, and join me in singing hymn number 144, Now Let Us All With One Accord.
You may be seated. It's quite an experience to be sitting in this chancel looking up at this incredible pulpit. Then it occurs to me that anyone who stands here really ought to have something to say. So I am more than humbled by the invitation to proclaim God's word to you today. We will trust the Spirit. Let us pray. We do ask, O God, in these moments, your Spirit would allow us to find our own lives in this ancient story with Abraham and Sarah. Let us find your good work that is not done with us. We pray it in the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did they go out and buy a crib? Did they set up the nursery and start to talk about names? Did she start to make baby clothes? God promised Abram and Sarai that even in their old years, they would have a baby, if only they left home and began the journey of faith. Well, what couple, after waiting for so many years to have a baby, could finally hear a promise from God that they were going to have one? And who could resist at least getting the crib? But what made this promise even more spectacular, it wasn't just a baby. God promised that they were being blessed to be a blessing to others. Their life was going to have a long significance that would outlive them. Well, it was 24 years ago that promise was first made to Abram and Sarai. For the most part, they've held up their end of the deal. They left home. They began the journey of faith. They've had some good years and some bad years, but they haven't had a baby. And at the end of every move, they would once again reassemble a crib that would remain empty. Abram is now 99 years old. Sarai is 89. And I imagine after the last couple of moves, they stopped reassembling the crib. Chances are great that you know something of this kind of discouragement. Maybe at an earlier time in your life, you threw yourself into a great dream, a dream that maybe you believe came to you from God, a wonderful dream. You were so committed to this. Maybe it involved a relationship, or maybe it involved the impact that your life was going to have, or maybe it was a dream about what God was doing to mend an injustice in our society, and you were going to be a part of that. You were committing yourself to this dream. As the years started to pile up, so did the disappointments. And after a while, it gets hard to keep reassembling the dream. So we leave it on a shelf in the closet of a protected corner of our heart. It was actually Sarai who came up with the idea for Abram to try to have this baby with her handmaid, Hagar. It wasn't exactly the dream, but they told themselves, sometimes you have to settle. We have no idea what Hagar thought of this idea. It could be that she was a willing participant, or it could be her opinions didn't matter. She was just being used as a means to an end. The child that Abraham had with Hagar is named Ishmael. He's now 13 years old. Well, then one of those ordinary, not so spectacular days for which Abram had settled, God reappeared. The first thing that God does is to announce a new name, El Shaddai, God of the mountains, or God Almighty. Abraham is down on his face in worship. The second thing God does is to change Abram's name to Abraham, saying, because, don't forget, you're going to be the father of a multitude of nations. I think at this point, he's back up on his feet, saying, yes, you can just call me father of a multitude of many nations from now on. This is fantastic. Apparently, God is going to bless Ishmael. It just took a little help from Hagar and me. We just had to tailor down the dream to something realistic. This is so often how we handle the blessings of God. Blessings which can only be received by God's amazing grace. You can't earn a blessing. You can't pry one out of God's hands. They just come as gifts from heaven, in heaven's own timing. But every time we hear a promise of a blessing or a promise of God's good work, we try to turn it into our own achievements, and then we bring it to God for approval. Maybe this is what you had in mind. It doesn't sound like what you did, but it's the best I can do on my own. But God continues and says to Abraham, oh, and by the way, I'm also changing your wife's name to Sarah. Because don't forget, the two of you are having a baby. The text tells us that now Abraham is back down on his face again, but this time it's because he's laughing too hard to stand up. We're having a what? A what? I was impressed that I had a baby with Hagar when I was 86. I'm paraphrasing this just a little bit. Actually, what the text says is, shall a man who is 100 years old have a son? Shall a woman who is 89 bear a child? What? I preached my very first sermon as a seminarian on this text. Unfortunately, I was preaching in a nursing home. I thought I was just being relevant. I pointed out that Abraham and Sarah were actually older than most of you sitting here. And who knows what God might have for your future? Woman sitting in a wheelchair interrupted the sermon at that point and said, preposterous! It later occurred to me, she's the only one who got this text just right. This is preposterous. What I remember most vividly about that day, though, was after they had taken the residents back to their rooms. Middle-aged chaplain stayed behind. She said to me, you know, my husband and I have not been able to have children. It's been one of the great wounds of our lives. How seriously do you think we should take this kind of text? I immediately began to backpedal. I said, oh, well, I was just preaching. I don't know. I said, to make matters worse, I then said, I think a lot of people want to have babies and they don't get to. Well, of course. I think she was pretty clear about that. Of course. Of course, people that we love who are very ill die in spite of our prayers for them. Of course. After 200 years of democracy, we still have potential leaders talking about building walls and keeping out entire religious groups of people. In spite of over 2,000 years of Christian missionary effort, we still have a world that is scarred by violence, oppression, and hunger. Of course, I know the score. But we can never be a people who give up hope. For in that day, our souls begin to wither. We have hope, not because it feels good, but because we live by the conviction that God is not done. God is not done with your life. God's not done. God is not done with the church. God is not done with this world that in Jesus Christ he was literally dying to love. After we have seen already from our sacred tradition what God has done, a God who yearned for us, who came to find us in Christ Jesus, who took on our flesh and our frailty, who walked our roads, who healed our sick, who died for our sins, who rose for our new life, who continues after the ascension to reign over all creation. Are you going to tell that God to be realistic? We live by the belief that it is God who creates reality. or to the peril of our sword, souls, they wither. A little bit later, we're told that some angels showed up at Abraham's tent, just to say that he was really serious. God really is going to provide a child for Abraham and Sarah. This time we're told that it was Sarah who got the laughter started. God's getting kind of interested in all this laughter at this point. And so God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? There it is. That's the question of today. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Those of you who've grown weary of life's disappointments and have settled into jobs that are sucking out your souls, or settled for a loneliness that wakes you up and keeps you up every night, or who have settled for living in a society with such horrible problems with racism, sexism, widening gap, wealth, poverty. Those who once had dreams of working on a better society, that those who once committed themselves to a thing called the kingdom of God, what would it be like if one of God's holy angels were to come to you to say, hey, it's time to recover the old dreams. They're about to be dreams come true. What would you say? Would you say, well, that's preposterous? Or would you, a little laughter, say, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? It is not up to us to determine if the dreams that we have for God will come true. That's God's business. It's certainly not up for us to determine when they will come true. That too is God's business. Our business is to throw ourselves into the dream, to allow it to shape our lives, to give us our identity, to give us souls that have some weightiness and gravitas to them, because we are living for hopes worthy of our fleeting years. That's what the dream does. We continue to remain devoted to that dream. We always will, or we will lose ourselves. It's not hard to believe in the dream when things are going so well for you. But when things are not going well, when the disappointments have been too many, or when there's just too many long, ordinary, dull days, nothing resembling what you once dreamed, that's when the decision to say, is anything too wonderful for the Lord, vital to your soul. That's what gives you a weighty soul, that choice, which is always available to you. Hope is always available, and it is always possible to say, I will be who I am, a person shaped and molded by this dream, and I will wait upon the Lord for its fulfillment. It's significant that God changes Abraham and Sarah's name before the child is born. Name goes to the identity. I think our identities are frankly shaped more by promises than they are by the fulfillment of promises. I like that line. I want to say it again. Our identities are shaped more by the promises we believe than they are by the fulfillment of them. Because we live by faith. Remember, Abraham and Sarah were blessed to be a blessing to those around them. It may be true that many outside the walls of the church believe something other than what we believe. It may be true that many believe nothing at all. Let us pray that at least they believe the church believes. At least let the world around us believe that those people still have hope. They're still believers. They're still devoted to the dream. It is what all religions need to offer, a world that is starving for the sacred. They need to believe that we believe. It is striking that God does not get cross with Abraham and Sarah for their laughter. In fact, God seems to kind of enter into the whole joke by saying, well, let's just go ahead and call this kid Isaac, which is Hebrew for laughter. You got to believe that in all those years following, when Abraham would go out and call laughter to come in for dinner, he also had to smile to himself and say, wow, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? There's a wonderful epilogue to this story. This text makes it very clear that God not only blessed Isaac and promised to make of him a great nation, but God also blessed Ishmael and promised to make of him a great nation as well. Today, the great nation of Isaac and the great nation of Ishmael are having a hard time living together in the Middle East. It'd be realistic to say, well, they always have. Nothing's ever really going to change. Or you could say both of them have been blessed by God. So we will continue to pray and to work and to dream for peace. Is that preposterous? Maybe. But the last thing you ever want to tell God is to be realistic. Amen.
And now will you stand as you are able and join with me in singing hymn number 70 in your hymnal, Thou Who at Thy First Eucharist Didst Pray.
power of your Holy Spirit may these gifts be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in this world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, that with all your creation we may praise your name forever.
Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.